Then you've heard me quote Galatians 6:9 often because I enjoy this verse, and it was instrumental in a particular time in my life when I was battling some things in ministry, and the Lord used this verse really to speak to my life. So today I want to speak on the theme, stay faithful. Stay faithful. I want to speak on this theme this morning. Stay faithful. I want to encourage the church to maintain faithful in all that the Lord has entrusted and all the Lord has put before you. How many know that there's always a battle sometimes? And we deal with stubbornness within ourselves. We deal with procrastination. We find ourselves sometimes in still waters, and we're not moving the way we want to. Well, the Lord wants to encourage us this morning to stay faithful. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Galatians 6, 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Father, we thank you for the teaching of your word this morning. I pray, Lord, as this word has encouraged me, that it would encourage someone this morning. Father God, open our hearts to sense, our ears to hear, our eyes to see what you want to speak into our lives this morning. Oh Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Stay faithful. So like I said, staying faithful is a challenge for all of us. At times in our lives, the Lord reminds us and encourages us to continue to fight the good fight of the faith, right? To stay faithful, to continue to move forward. It's a battle. It's part of our sinful nature to land in stagnant waters. It's part of our sinful nature, our human nature, to just kind of get lazy with certain things in our lives at times. And the Lord always reminds us to continue faithful in the work that he has for us. Right, stay faithful in things like our spiritual disciplines, things like prayer and reading the Bible and even attending church. You know, if I could share from my heart as pastor an observation that I have made with regard to the pandemic has brought this sense of inconsistency even in church attendance. How many say amen? You know, some of us who, you know, pre-pandemic, you know, we wouldn't miss a service. Sunday, you know, that's the day of the Lord, you know. We were real committed to being faithful. I've seen a lot of inconsistency in some of us. And the church says. I want to encourage you today not to let the world change us. I want to encourage you today not to let systems or things that we battle with change us. Let us be consistent in staying faithful in the things that God has called us. You know, we battle with different things. I battle with staying faithful to a diet, right? I have a group of friends that I text. Some of them are here. We hold each other accountable with regard to what we eat and how much we weigh. Right, and we'll get on the scale, and we'll be like, there was a time we used to do it every Tuesday. That was our weigh-in day, right? And we'd be like, yeah, this is what I weighed in. We snapped pictures of the scale, just kind of holding each other accountable, right? So I haven't been doing that much lately because I think my scale is broken. Every time I get on it, it's a little higher, you know? I'm like, it must be broken. It's the numbers are going up. But the Lord is challenging us to be faithful to certain things in our lives. Our spiritual disciplines, prayer and reading the Bible, right? Be faithful to money management. How do we manage our money, right? We got to be faithful to that, right? Be faithful to church attendance, controlling our emotions. We're emotional people, and sometimes we have to know that the Lord is calling us to be faithful to how we control our emotions. Faithful to our families, to be faithful fathers and faithful mothers, and faithful sons to our parents, and faithful parents to their children as well. That we would be faithful friends to our friends and faithful colleagues to our colleagues. And that we would know that the Lord has called us to stay faithful, honoring our home and honoring the things that he puts in our heart. So here the Apostle Paul writes Galatians chapter 6. And he's encouraging the church to be faithful to the good work. And if you read the first few verses of Galatians, you'll see that he's talking to the church and he's telling them, hey, be faithful to what's good. Be faithful to what is right. And he even uses words like restoring gentleness. Walk humbly. Bear with one another's burdens. So he's calling the church in Galatians chapter 6, and he's letting them know, hey, be faithful to the good work. He says, those of you who teach and share, you know, live out what you're teaching. Be faithful to the good. And then he tells us in the verses right before the verse we read, because if you sow in the flesh, you'll reap in the flesh. But if you sow in the spirit, you'll reap in the spirit. Then he tells us, so do not get tired in doing good, for in due season you will reap what you sow if you do not give up. So he is encouraging the church to stay faithful to what is good, to what is right, to what honors God, to what honors the life that he has called us for. And I love that he encourages the church to stay faithful to it. And then he finishes off this whole thought with Galatians chapter 9 and 10, but for us today, 9. And he says, so let us not become weary in doing good. Let us not become weary in staying faithful to the good work. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So when I look at that verse, there's four things that I'd like to share with you this morning with regard to that verse. The first one reminds us that God sees our labor, that he sees all things. Anyone who can say, I will allow you to harvest your good work is because he has seen your good work. He sees all that you do. And the only one that can see all things is God. He sees our labors, our labor. He sees our work. He tells us, do not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, when I know that it will be best for you because I've seen how you have sown, it reminds us that God is omnipresent, that he's in all places. He's in all emotions. He's in our sad times, and he's in our happy times. He's in our bad times, and he's in our good times. He's always present with us. He sees us all times. He sees us when we try, and he sees us when we don't try. He sees us when we fail, and he sees us when we're successful. He sees us when we're being faithful, and he sees us when we're not being faithful. He sees us when we're obedient, and he sees us when we're not obedient. God sees all things. Nothing escapes God. In fact, I love that Solomon writes in Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. The psalmist said, Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12, he says, where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. God is saying, I see you in all places, in the highs and in the lows. Through the prophet Jeremiah, God says, can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? Talking about his omnipresence, that he's in all places and he sees all things. Job said, for his eyes are on the way of a man and he sees all his steps. God sees all things. And I love that the Apostle Paul writes in Colossians 1:17, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. God sees our labor. Why? He's in all places, in all times, in all seasons, in all emotion. He sees all things. So that's why I want to encourage you, stay faithful. God sees all things. He's seen when we've been good and when we haven't been so good. And he's seen how you have struggled, and he's seen your prayers, and he's seen your tears, and he's seen how you have battled for your family, for your home, for your children, for your ministry. He sees how you love. He sees how passionate you have been. He sees the desires of your heart. And for that reason, I remind you this morning to stay faithful. God sees all things. Nothing slips through God. Others may not see it. Your pastor may not see it. Your Sunday school teachers may not see it. Those around you may not see it. But you stay faithful. Why? Because God sees your labor. He sees all things. And perhaps there's someone here today that's walking down the wrong road. Perhaps there's someone here today that is battling in their lives, and you know that the life that you have chosen or the decisions that you are making are not good ones. I want to tell you that the Lord, he He sees those things too. But what I love about God, he doesn't reject us when we're in that place. He still draws us closer to him. For he still wants to bless us and keep us and watch over us. So maybe you're one of those that you say, I can't believe that God has seen my ugliness. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that even in our ugliness, God still loves us. And he still wants us to be faithful to him and faithful to what is right and faithful to what is righteous. So let us be encouraged today to know that nothing slips out the hand of God. Maybe you're doing something and you feel like, man, I'm not getting the credit for this. I'm working hard and no one sees it. And I haven't earned what I should have earned. And I'm not getting what I should have gotten. You stay faithful. That doesn't alter you or change your work ethic or your work habits. No, you have come to understand that everything I do it like if I am doing it for the Lord. So I will stay faithful because the Lord, he sees all things. He sees all things. And the church says, amen. Stay faithful. Why? Because the Lord sees our labor. One. Number two, stay faithful. Why? Because we understand that doing the good thing is not easy. Yeah. Doing the good thing is not easy. And I love that Paul says, let us not become weary in doing good. The word weary here in the original language means utter spiritlessness. It means to have no spirit. It's to be completely exhausted. So he's saying, don't get tired. That word tired there in original language means completely exhausted. In fact, it's the same word that the Apostle Paul uses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, where he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry we have received, we faint not. We don't get utterly exhausted. It's a word that he uses often in his writings, the Apostle Paul, to let us know that there are seasons where people feel spiritless, utterly exhausted. So he uses this particular word there and says, let us not become weary in doing good. Why does he use that word, weary in doing good? Because the good work sometimes is exhausting. It's hard. Doing good at times is hard. It's hard to do what's right. It's hard to love someone who has betrayed us. It's hard to be kind to someone who's not kind to us. It's hard sometimes to forgive those who don't deserve to be forgiven on our behalf, right? It's hard sometimes to be faithful to our spiritual disciplines. It's hard sometimes to be faithful in our tithing and our giving. It's hard sometimes to do everything that the Lord calls us to do. He recognizes that he has not put us on an easy journey. He says, don't get tired in doing good, understanding that the good work at times is tiresome. In fact, the biblical language is a language that calls us to persevere. It calls us to persevere. It tells us, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. The Bible tells us if we endure, we will reign with him. Paul writes, rejoice in times of suffering. Paul writes, fight the good fight of the faith. He tells us, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The biblical language is a language of perseverance. It's a language that reminds us that what God has called us for is not easy. But he strengthens us for it. And he tells us, stay faithful. It costs at times to do the right thing. It costs at times to be faithful to your disciplines and what God has called us to do. It's not easy to be patient. It's not easy to wait on God. It's not easy to battle with this flesh that we live in every day. It's not easy to deal with temptation. No, it's not easy to deal with the selfish will of our sinful nature. It's not easy to battle lust. It's not easy to deal with these things. We know, but the Lord tells us, don't get tired and stay in doing good. Don't get tired in being faithful, because at the end of this journey, you will enjoy the greater good. You enjoy the greater. And I get concerned when we hear preachers say things like, come to Jesus, that everything is going to be better for you. Come to Jesus, that things are going to be easier. Come to Jesus, that you are going to get the job that you really want and the house that you really want. Come to Jesus, that you're going to drive the vehicle. Those sermons irk me. They bother me. They're so misleading and they're not kingdom-minded. In fact, the Bible reminds us that we are called to persevere and struggle and walk a life that reflects the image of Jesus. And if he suffered, the church will have to battle at times as well. But we are reminded that he leads us always to a greater good. And everything is seasonal. Maybe you're in a season of hardship right now, but I want you to know that the season will pass you by. Your job is to stay faithful in the midst of that season. And the church says, so we're talking about staying faithful, that God sees our labor, that doing the good work is not easy. Number three, the Bible says when we need it the most, we will see God's recompense. I love that Paul writes, don't get tired in doing good, for in due season you will reap what you sow. In due season, the word there, in due season, in its original language, the word in due is pertaining to you. In the original language, it has to do with you. In due season, with regard to you, is what the connotation there is. And then the word season there has to do with the opportune moment. So it's like in due season, at the opportune moment, when you need it the most, is what the verse is trying to say there. In due season, when you need it the most, when the opportune moment comes for you. And he's saying, when we need it the most, we will what? We will see a recompense. God says, I will recompense you. The thought here is, when you need it the most, you will harvest. God says, don't get tired in doing good, for in due season, when you need it the most, you will harvest. The word harvest there has to do with collect. You will collect what is yours. That's a promise of the Lord. He says, if you sow in the flesh, you will reap in the flesh. But if you sow in the spirit, you will reap in the spirit. And I love that. It says, when you need it the most, you will collect. You will harvest what is yours. And sometimes we don't get it at the time that we expect because it's not the opportune moment. It's not the time that we need it the most. It's not the time that it will be most edifying to our faith, most edifying to our lives. There may be times when we think that we need something and it may be good for our lives, but it's not good for our faith. And God knows the opportune moment, the right time for us. And it's when we need it the most, we will harvest our good work. And the church says, and this is a reminder to us that God's timing is perfect. When we look at the scriptures, we see that Jesus always came right on time. I love that when you look at Jesus' miracles, they were just not about the individual, but they were about the occasion, about the people, right? It was always about the circumstance. I love when he heals the woman with the issue of blood, and he heals this woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, and he has this powerful encounter that many of you know this story, where she touches the hem of Jesus, and he says, power has flown from me, and the disciples are like, everybody's touching you, and finally she says, it was me. But that miracle wasn't just about her. It was about a man by the name of Jairo. He was on his way there, and his 12-year-old daughter was dying. And he needed to hear and see of the miracle that God did with this woman who for 12 years had been bleeding and in need of a miracle. And God, in his sovereignty, he put it all together so that this father can see the power of Jesus, heal the miracle of the need of this woman, and say, your word is enough to heal my daughter. I've seen what you can do. Your word is enough. You see, when God does something, he's dealing with every aspect of our lives. His timing is perfect. It is to help us in this life. It is to encourage us in our faith. And it's also to bless those around us. So in due season, you will harvest what you have sown. God's timing is perfect for you. And I want to encourage you and let you know that you stay faithful. And when you need it the most, you will see God's recompense. I can tell you stories of times when God came in just on time for us in ministry. Just on time when we need it, when God sent people right at the right moment, when God sent resources right at the right moment, when God sent a friend to our lives right at the right moment, when God sent partners into our lives right at the right moment. God knows the right moment in our lives, and if we are faithful at the opportune moment, when we need it the most, the Lord will bring what you need and he will satisfy the longing and the desires of your heart. And it comes in at the right moment. I love that the Lord speaks the sermon that we need at the right moment. He sends the song at the right moment. I've had a number of times when I have just been at a place in my life where I just need to hear from the Lord. And I'll put on a song that I never knew, I never known, or it just pops on. And that song has impacted and changed and encouraged me, changed my circumstance and encouraged me for the moment. God opens doors for us at the right moment. We don't get certain jobs when we want them because he knows the greater good, and it's not a good job for us. But at the right moment, he opens up the right door that leads us to a place of blessing and encouragement for us. He doesn't open up every door when we want it at every time, because it's not the best thing for us and it's not the opportune moment. But he is faithful in every one of our needs. What is our job? Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Whenever I get an opportunity to encourage other ministers or other pastors, I tell them, our job is not the responsibility to grow a church. We're not responsible for the amount of members that are in a church. We're not responsible for the amount of money that comes in. We're not responsible for those things. Our responsibility as pastors, as shepherds, is what? Stay faithful. Who we water and we plant, and God brings the growth. Our job is faithful to the church. Your job is faithfulness. And if you sow in the spirit, at the opportune moment, you will harvest. And I think it's a law that you could apply to every aspect of your life, to your marriage, to your ministry, to relationships in your life. You stay faithful and you will see the hand of God move and minister right at the right moment. And the church says, and our last point this morning is we must not give up. Stay faithful. We must not give up. The verse says, do not get tired in doing good, for in due season you will reap what you sow if you do not give up. Could it be that some of us have missed out on collecting what is ours because we gave up? Could it be that we missed out on harvesting and collecting what is ours because we didn't stay faithful? We didn't give God an opportunity to show us that he was going to deliver, that we were going to see his power and we were going to see his might. We didn't give God the opportunity to show us that he had seen, that he had heard, that he's omnipresent, that he knows that this is not easy and he's going to harvest us, but we gave up too early. We threw in the towel too early, and for that reason, we missed it. I always love the story of Peter, where Luke chapter 5, where Peter was fishing and he caught no fish. I love that story. It's another one of those life stories that has spoken to me. And I love that Jesus is teaching from the shore, and Jesus finishes teaching from the shore, and Jesus tells Peter, hey, throw the net into deeper water. And Peter says, I've fished all night and I've caught nothing. But then he tells Jesus this, but by your word, I will do it. He could have said, you know, you're a good teacher, but I know these waters. He could have said, I'm tired. I just finished cleaning these nets. I'm letting you use my boat during the time that I'm cleaning the nets, but I got to go home and rest. I got to do this again tonight. He could have said that, but he says, by your word, I will do it. And we know the story in Luke chapter 5. Peter throws the net into deep water, and he caught so much fish that he had to call his friends to help him, and they dragged this net full of fish to the shore. I wonder how many of us, we missed our nets full of fish because we gave up. Because God's word says, but it was too much to persevere. It was too much of a battle to fight. It was too much. And for that reason, we gave up and we missed the miracle. We missed the opportunity to see God's hand and God's power and God's might. We missed the opportunity. We only went halfway. We only did it sometimes. We only did it when we could, when it was easy. We only did it when it wasn't sacrificial for us. Then we did the good thing. But what if we're faithful all the time? we will never find ourselves with empty nets. We will never find ourselves without collecting our harvest. No. Why? Because we're faithful. And it's in that encounter. I love that story because I love that Peter throws himself at the feet of Jesus and says, "Apart from me, for I'm a sinful man." And Jesus says, "I'm going to make you a fisher of men." Jesus tells him, "I'm going to use you like never before." Why? Because you understood to be obedient to my word. I want to encourage you here today. Stay faithful. Don't give up. I love that the Bible tells us God will not be mocked. He sees how we sow. And he says, if you sow in the flesh, well, you'll reap in the flesh. But if you sow in the spirit, you will reap in the spirit. So as I get ready to close our teaching this morning, I want to encourage you. What? Stay faithful. And the church says, stay faithful. What is it that you're battling with today? What is going on in your life? What do you feel that you're struggling? You're in stagnant waters. There was a time in the Old Testament when the Israelites were on the mountain too long, and God tells him, you've been on this mountain too long. Get up and move out into the land that I have promised you. I think sometimes we've been in this mountain too long. We've been in these stagnant waters too long. And the Lord is telling us, move on out of there. Move into what I have promised you. Stay faithful. Yes, as I remind you today, as you stay faithful, know that God sees all things. He is omnipresent. He sees all things. Nothing slips through the fingers of God. Yes, doing the good work is not easy. It's not easy doing all that God has entrusted us, God expects of us, God commands us. It's not easy. It's not easy to live the life that God has called us to live. It's not easy, but he says, if you stay faithful, you will collect what is yours. You will collect what is yours. And I love this thought that, what is mine has to do with me and my family, me and my wife, my children, my girls. It has to do one day with my grandchildren if Jesus is to tarry. It has to do with our ministry here. It has to do with the life. It has to do with whatever has been entrusted to us, whatever is in our arm's distance, whatever it's in our surroundings. God says, man, I will allow you to collect what is yours. But we must stay faithful. And the church says, amen. I'm going to invite you to stand.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.